This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's now 7:36 on Wednesday, the 1st of March. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han and Julian Ng. Now, in the international business headlines today, we've got overnight details of the second reading of the US fourth quarter GDP numbers that's been released. Now, it looks like US economic growth slowed in the fourth quarter. GDP rose at 1.9% annual rate in the final 3 months of 2016. Robust consumer spending was offset by downward revisions to business and government investment.
Yeah, now looking at 2016 as a whole, though, again, granted this fourth quarter numbers are just the second reading. They'll have their final one, I believe, in a month or so. But still, 2016 as a whole, the U.S. economy grew 1.6%. Now, that is its worst performance since 2011. So, you know, it really sets the stage, you know, for what President Trump's plans for fiscal spending and how they want to boost the economy. You know, it really sets the stage for his speech, which is set to happen at about 10 a.m. Malaysian time.
But 9 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, 9 p.m. Eastern time, Eastern 10 a.m. Okay. Yeah, 10 p.m. 10 a.m. our time. But anyway, at the same time, when you take that figure, though, that 1.6%, that's a far cry from what President Donald Trump has said, right? He wants to aim for 4% GDP growth, you know, moving forward. Recently, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, he says that they are aiming for a sustainable growth of above 3%. But then on the other hand, you got the Fed, who say they're aiming for long-term growth of 1.8%. So plenty of numbers being bandied about, but I think what markets are looking for is clarity from Trump's policies on how to boost GDP growth.
I think Trump would have somebody to blame for this. It suits him well, right? Because the whole year's growth of 1.6%, that's Obama, right? And most of that would be Obama. And for the last quarter of the year, that's the strongest quarter with about 1.9% growth. So the momentum in the final quarter of the year growing at 1.9%, he can try to take credit for that, because he can say that, oh, look, I have attracted all these companies to continue to remain in the U.S. and therefore maybe, this is growing at 1.9%. But nevertheless, the other indicator that the Fed might take a close look at is the inflation rate, which is only at a very tepid 1.2%, with the consumer sector growing a higher rate at 1.9%. So the question of whether this will affect the interest rate decisions going forward is another matter, because 1.2% is still quite low, below the unofficial 2% target. But we know that the consensus is that people around, analysts around the world, are targeting 3 to 4 interest rate rises this year.
And then looking, speaking about those Fed rate hikes there real quick, you know, so you got that meeting coming up on March 14th and 15th. That's the Fed's, the FOMC meeting. Now you have got more investors or just market watchers, you know, who are pricing in a Fed rate hike. You got Fed speak recently saying that they're looking at a March rate hike.
Yeah,
seriously.
That's just in a few weeks.
Right, a couple of weeks, right? We already, first day of March now. Man, time flies. But then looking closely at the fourth quarter data, you know, when you factor in the consumer spending aspect, because it accounts for more than 2/3 of the U.S. economic activity. You got to keep in mind that in the fourth quarter, they had Thanksgiving, right, Black Friday, and of course Christmas as well. Granted, this is on year, you know, so it is still growing robustly. Given that U.S. consumer confidence is at a 15-year high, you know, as we just heard from our news team just now, you know, so you've got all these elements that are really setting up 2017 rather nicely. Although I'm sure many would hope that they do not. It's not setting them up for disappointment, you know, when we get more.
So he's giving his speech soon, right?
Yep, in a couple
10
of hours, yeah.
10 a.m. our time, yeah.
Well, speaking about retail, Han, let's take a look at Target, which is one of the biggest retailers in the U.S. Target's CEO has vowed to invest billions to lower prices and remodel hundreds of stores. And this really comes just as Target has reported that sales and profit declined within that holiday quarter.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so essentially, that's just another way of saying, you know, you got the likes of Target and Walmart and having to fend off Amazon, right? So they're having to spend all these billions. It's not just Target, or as my friends and I used to call it, Target.
Target. Yeah, I think that's the correct pronunciation.
Really?
Really?
You got to make it more classy.
Yeah. What,
sure.
No, it's true. Because, you know, as college kids back then, we would go to Walmart. But then once I got my job, we got to go to Target.
Okay.
Ooh, more classy.
It's not quite French, but
you know, but still, you know, when you look at these brick and mortar retailers, the giants, you know, Target, Walmart, you know, they're having to spend billions just to try to entice people to come back into their physical stores. You know, so it's really, you know, hurting them. And then with the kind of outlook, though, you know, saying Target saying that their profitability moving forward will be suppressed given the kind of outflows they need to spend when it comes to investing in their stores.
Yeah, they're trying to copy Walmart because Walmart did very well in the fourth quarter after embarking on a strategy of focusing on their stores revamp. So that has had some measure of success for Walmart in that fight against Amazon. So Target is trying to copy that. I don't know if they will be successful because I think that the digital onslaught is still quite strong. But I mean, if you put, I don't know, an attractive picture here or there in your stores, you might attract one or two people back through its doors.
Well, I mean, let me ask you guys this, though. Do you not think there's still a place for people to take a leisurely stroll through the aisles of these grocery stores?
Or Malaysia, yes, for the aircon.
For the air.
I was just about to say, I mean, if I had leisure time, I probably would do the strolling.
Ooh, it keep you so busy. No, but again, it's not just Walmart and Target. No, going through this list by the Wall Street Journal here, for example, Sears, they're closing another 150 Sears and Kmart stores this year. Macy's closed 66 stores. JCPenney closing about 130 to 140 stores. You know, so you just go through the list. Kohl's as well, shrinking their footprints there. So it is a sign of the times in the US. But then it makes you wonder as well when you look at the Malaysian space, right? We've spoken about this. Aeon not doing well, Parkson not doing well, Maiden not doing well. And it makes you wonder where is the future of
but
retail.
That's more due to the sentiment, economic sentiment. Whereas the brick and mortar stores in the United States are losing out to online platforms. Losing market share to them. So the question now is, you know, are the robots taking over online models all over the place? People are going to Amazon. People are going to robo-advisors. People are just doing everything digitally.
Well, speaking about robots, Jules, at JP Morgan Chase, there's this machine. It's a learning machine that is working on financial deals that once kept legal teams busy for thousands of hours. So it's a program called COIN, that's short for Contract Intelligence. And it does the job of interpreting commercial loan agreements. So before the COIN project went online in June, the job of interpreting these loan agreements consumed 360,000 hours of work each year by lawyers and loan officers.
I see a lawyer joke somewhere around the corner.
I don't have one.
Lurking one, around the corner.
Well, I guess what we can say, though, is like, man, you know, well, it is
happened to some people, right? Getting rid of 360,000
hours.
Not 360,000 lawyers, but 360,000 hours.
Right, you know, it's 360,000 man hours, but at the same time, you know, these lawyers who are currently in the finance sector, especially over there in the States and, of course, worldwide as well, you might want to start looking up those, I don't know, Uber or Grab application forms or something, you know, I don't know. But no, it's still, this is just yet another huge milestone in the disruptive nature of fintech, right? Because, and JP Morgan, you know, they have got about $9.6 billion earmarked for their technology budget, and a lot of it is to push, you know, the automating of these mundane processing and information pushing tasks.
Wells Fargo is also embracing fintech because they are now launching a new robo-advisor, Intuitive Investor, later this year, targeting young and first-time investors.
So not only are the lawyers being replaced, the fund managers are also being replaced because the robo-advisors do a very important duty of giving you the correct ratio of safe to risky assets. You decide on that. They give you the option to choose to an a la carte menu to choose. And they maintain that safe to risky ratio for the very long term, which is supposed to be very good for your retirement planning.
Okay, it's coming up to 7:45 now. And after this, we're going to take a look at local business news, including Saudi Aramco's stake in Petronas's Rapid project, as well as we've got loads of earnings results. We're going to be taking a look at CIMB and Felda Global Ventures. So stay tuned to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.